Hey, you've found the San Carlos Computer Club's podcast. The San Carlos Computer Club is a weekly meeting of tech-enthusiastic snowbirds living in San Carlos, Mexico. Today is February 25th, 2020. My name is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. ICS is a family-owned local IT consulting and computer repair shop with over 20 years of experience. If you're looking for computer support, then contact us at internationalcs.net. I am the guest host, sound engineer, and producer of the podcast for these meetings. What follows is the recording of our last meeting. Let's get this started, get the show on the road. Here we go with February 25th, 2020's meeting of the San Carlos Computer Club.
I went back and remodeled them.
Yeah.
For new computers.
Testing one,
exactly
two, testing.
Exactly one quarter of the space. One quarter.
Well, I was going to say that I worked at the university and for the Department of Natural Resources, and in both locations, they had raised floors, they had mainframe computers, they had just ridiculous amounts of equipment, and it was all turned off. It was all dark because they had installed the new equipment right on top of the old equipment.
Oh, that's what it is.
Because the old equipment was so big, they couldn't uninstall it. It was more costly to try and uninstall it than it was just to let it sit there dead and put the new equipment on top of it. And so I remember we used like four computers to run all of the Department of Natural Resources, and each one of them was a Unix box. I'm doing this because it was the size of a home PC, but it ran the entire department. There's four of them, and they were stacked on top of the mainframe that used to run the whole department. I mean, just this monstrous tonnage of equipment was sitting there dead.
I can remember one guy
on the fifth floor.
He says, just give me the raised floor and forget anything that I told you.
Well, that's how they used to do it. People's first TVs was a console, a big piece of furniture.
Yeah.
And when that crapped out, you bought another TV and you put it on top of it.
Right. Right, yeah. I remember that. It was a piece of furniture. It held your albums and your record player. And only the TV's not working anymore.
And the TV was like this.
Then you called the nuclear engineer nuclear engineer to blow it all up and start again.
He's not going
to
get that.
Are we online?
But Carter said it right, because he had a PhD in nuclear energy.
He did.
He was a submarine skipper, nuclear submarine skipper.
Who was that? Jimmy Carter?
I didn't know that.
I don't think he was a skipper. He went through the power school.
That was his hobby.
I'm sorry, who did?
I don't think he was ever a skipper, but he did go through the power school.
We lived in Atlanta when he was governor. He was a very good governor. He was a very effective governor.
Well, he tried to please everybody.
That was his problem.
Seems like a very nice man.
And he took us off of nuclear and set us back on coal as our major energy source.
I've often felt like he's going to go down in history as the most effective ex-president we've ever had.
Yeah.
Like the most ineffective president at the time, and the most effective as history will show.
He was really cornered by history.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was pretty bad till Bush came along. Bush made him look good.
You're going to be, they're going to stall you.
Come on, Trump's making Nixon look good.
Oh, yeah. Everybody looked good. I keep going for him back like a president.
That's the question. Oh, look at that. I'll sell you.
Like you got a top warning.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
In the news, people say he did nothing to embarrass us last night.
Oh, that's the new news, Jay. Guess what? Our president actually did nothing last night.
He didn't tweet. He obviously didn't have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
You know? When you were putting those 6 and 0 18-inch floors in the place where we were
working. I was working for an architect.
Well,
did you see
everything looks like it's working.
Oh, my God, it's the funniest thing. there are a lot of...
We did all of IBM's work.
Indian. There is a lot of Indian terminology, and they're using Indian phrasing. Man can't do it. He absolutely can't. Whoever wrote this speech for him should not have.
Of the day. You had to have the phrase for you.
I didn't see Colbert, but I imagine they made mincemeat of it.
My dad was Bell Canada, and he used to hide all the wires when he would
get the extra one.
I don't know.
He
can Google bits and pieces of some of his shows.
Well,
like
fun stories,
I don't do that with the alcohol. I don't do it with that
when
either.
When he was drilling up, he should be sticking up.
Hey, how did you move?
He was drilling up. Like still getting the shaving
coming down this year. Oh, nice shot.
Really interesting, man. Right? I said really interesting.
I'm going to watch him up there.
Like Los Alamos, one of the PhDs I worked with.
To be that
we
young again,
one day talking
on
and looking down,
like
he had two different
care.
Shoes on.
I get it.
Yeah. You get dressed in the closet in the dark. You know?
My classroom had a two-bar.
Ray, what are you doing these days for artwork?
Collage. A lot of collage work. And I think
I had
the summer.
A stool that was about this high.
Dry pastels. We had a good workshop. We had a good workshop at the Art League.
Oh, really?
With a woman talked about pastels. You know, they're kind of like a chalk. I've had them for years and never got anywhere with them. But now I think maybe I
black and blue.
I like to draw. What are you up to? Oh, please.
That one hurt.
What I would really like is a model. I wish we could get a hold of someone who would model.
Well,
right here, that'd be a very
good idea.
Those are more challenging to draw. I mean,
bone growth or something.
Yeah,
if you're youthful and beautiful, it's not much of a challenge.
No.
Or whether you want to take it out or not. Do they take chips out or do they try to nail them down?
You know, like fabric, folds and fabric.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for in a model.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Character.
Yeah. Well,
I got lots of
what's
character.
In there, then
and I thought, no, I can't leave. I thought about, you know, just putting a mirror up and going for it. And then I thought, hell no, my kids will inherit it. I don't or I, God forbid, the grandkids. Grammy? It's funny.
They couldn't sit still long enough.
That's good.
Did you know?
Don't touch it.
It's a very famous.
Okay.
You know, it's not when you see me.
She likes you.
Oh, now I see me.
Whoa.
No.
There you go.
Take that stomach off.
There's a very famous painting by Botticelli, and it's Venus coming out of the ocean on this big seashell. Is that ring a bell? All right. I did that in my dining area. And it's had a saying around it that said they say food is our soul, but sometimes I prefer chocolate. And she had an ice cream cone in me. So I had this thing up for 5 or 6 years, and then my then 16-year-old grandson came down to visit.
Okay.
He was mortified.
Put it in the deep fryer in order to
put it at the table, so he looked at
it. All
right, so I painted over it. Couldn't handle it.
So you're still doing a lot of cooking, I guess.
He's cute.
I think I didn't do much cooking in the restaurant. I didn't do much in the donut shop.
Well, I don't know why I'm so prepared so early. I should have ordered breakfast.
So you get a hamburger like Bob?
Yeah, I know that looks pretty good.
Maybe you'll share it with you.
Jason gave you onion rings.
I'm a big fan of hamburgers. The I don't know if you guys have done Hair of the Dog, but they've got a great burger.
They're very good. I made a mistake about their Millennium or New Year's burger or something like this. I think it was so big. I think it was meant for two people, but I ate it.
I think that place is really surprising when it comes to food, because you just expect it to be a dive bar, and you go in, and they've got exceptional food.
Their ribs are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's become one of my number one hamburger places. Hair of the Dog. Yeah, I mean, it's surprising how good their food is. You walk into that atmosphere, and you think you're there to like do tequila shooters with your friends, and they've got an exceptional menu of food for being a bar. It's
do me
really
a favor
good quality.
And park in the back.
Yeah, park in the back. Everyone park in the back, damn it.
You make that turn in. There's always
what's that, Mike?
Idiot. Right? Parked right there. Yeah.
Oh, years ago he was at Froggy's. Yeah, he's the one that put together Froggy's. He's always put together a good show.
It's a tight turn.
But this is the first time that I've just been really aware of how exceptional the food is. I've been back a half a dozen times for burgers.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, and the fries are awesome. The burger's awesome. It's awesome for the price for San Carlos.
Car wash.
Yeah. Oh, I heard about
it. I mean, you can easily spend the same amount of money and get less quality burger in other places around town.
Pickup truck was stolen at the car wash.
That's right. Alex is always checking to make sure you're happy. If you weren't happy, he'd take it back and get you another one.
Yeah, I don't. If I ever use them, I don't get.
What else do they have?
I went to Captain's.
The bar when you want to move
or something. Chowder and.
Really.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
They've also got an arrangement of Mexican dishes too that are available. I mean, it is when you look at the menu is actually bigger than you'd expect a bar menu to have. I think they've got two pages and free Wi-Fi, fast Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi.
They dropped their car off there.
That's why there's also
come back and
there.
Saw
it's the Wi-Fi.
Joyriding.
Had an accident.
He did.
Alex Wi-Fi. That used
one
to
of
do
them
froggies.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I was wondering what happened.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Well, they were a little bit inebriated. Yeah. They were cervezas.
They're cervezas.
They
thought they wore a car with
that. Yeah.
No, that was a bar.
You mean Santa Iguana? Yeah.
Santa Iguana.
60 pesos.
Yeah, they do pretty good.
Really?
Enough water. And I wouldn't. They don't have endless supply.
I haven't paid any attention.
So they can just
really light
grind it in a bit. But I got enough scratches on my house. Down those bush roads in Alberta. There's dust around here all the time.
Really?
It takes one day to get your car to
the best. I was going to say, by the time you get it washed and you get home, neither.
The Cardone Forest, one trip, that'll put a quarter-inch layer of dust on it.
Oh, it was
One of my neighbors has a guy that comes once a week and washes his car.
Yeah, there's a guy around our
I wonder how many more people have
too. Oh, yeah. Lots of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my friends, every time they go to Walmart,
I'm proud of the dust on my car. He's every driver in the desert.
I'm like the termites. You name them, they're yours. You live with them.
Yes.
What was that?
Termites. I finally gave up and named them.
How many do you have?
I had the guy come every 6 months, and they just move over a couple of feet.
So how's your friendship?
But
I don't talk. Real women don't talk.
We have mice in the kitchen. I don't know why.
Oh, those little field mice things. Yeah.
You don't know what computer that is.
The real problem is getting up on top.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
What? You get up there on your hands.
Up there.
Just rub it.
Whoa, that's neat. How'd you do that?
You like that?
That's the mirror. The mirror hall.
That's what happens when I'm...
That's the mirror hall?
This is what I'm looking for. I want to start this. We're going live.
The mirror is basically
a beauty product. They just said water.
We're doing it live.
Going
live.
On the top. Don't do it on the side.
We still got a couple more minutes, but I'll get the stream going right now.
What happened to Richard?
Richard? Oh, you know, Richard is not joining us today because he's in Mazatlan filming Carnival.
We did that last year.
Yep. Yeah. What's that?
He's the life of the rich and famous.
That's right. Look for him on Instagram.
What's he doing there?
Filming Carnival. You know, he's originally done work in Mazatlan for many years before he started frequenting San Carlos, and he still goes back every year for Carnival to update his website, take photos and videos, and promote Mazatlan's Carnival stuff. Yeah. Okay. So that's what he's working on while we're here.
Do you go to the one in Rhinelands?
You know, we did for years when we were younger, but I don't think we've been there in, I don't know, 4 years or so. If only it wasn't a kid event when we went. We were drinking in the streets and partying with the people. But what they did is...
Have you been down for it?
Did you want more coffee?
I'm fine, thank you.
Did you hear what happened this year? So this year, apparently the mayor, our new mayor, promised that no one would pay for Carnival. And people showed up for Carnival, and they had ticket booths, and they've gated off, and they're selling tickets. And the people just tore down the ticket booths and walked in. Yeah. They did?
In Wymas.
Well, Carnival for years was free. And then with an administration, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, they started playing with this idea of trying to charge for it. And they took grief from the people for that. So then they went from charging for it to having venues that they would charge for. They would have an act over by the water. And the only way to get into that act was to pay for that act. But so this mayor apparently promised Wymas that it would be free of charge. And people showed up and they were trying to charge people. And, of course, the way we have law enforcement right now, there's nobody there stopping people from doing whatever they want. And so they just walked right through. They pushed the gates aside and came on in. And it's like, no, Carnival's free.
Yeah, it's like Woodstock.
Yeah, very much like Woodstock, yeah. Yeah. Well, should we get started with my Carnival story? This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish and discuss the tech topics of the day. I'm going to blame Sid he's the reason I have no topics. No, I'm kidding. I do allow myself easily distracted. I should blame myself for being easily distracted. So I have come with a list of old topics and no new topics, and I would be happy to hear new topics. I see two hands. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. So I renewed my Sirius subscription for my radio after calling them because they wanted to bill me $247, you know, for the year. So anyway, I called them. And after I renewed it, the guy said, oh, and by the way, we're still sending you a new Echo Dot.
For free.
For free. Wow. So it's waiting for me up in Nogales.
This is exactly what I was thinking, is pretty soon you're not buying these things. They're just.
So it's a 3, though. Is that the latest one?
No. I think they've got a deal with Amazon to give it away for free,
and
because they want to get more people in that act,
everything.
In that infrastructure. Oh, yep. What is going on here? I'm not ready for problems. Damn you!
The next topic is starting communications.
So anyway, if you're going to up your Sirius subscription, they might give you an Echo free.
There we go.
Cool.
That's cool.
Renew.
Yeah, I noticed that they didn't give you Alexa in the car for free.
Do I have that option?
Well, there are smart speakers now intended to go with you in the car.
Call
it
back. Your data.
It does use your data. It also would directly compete with Siri radio in your car.
I'm on the phone trying to get my rate low.
Yeah? You got it free.
Did you get your rate low?
Did you get? You did? How low did you get it?
94.
And
for the year.
Oh, wow. So you got it for less than half of what they were trying to charge you.
No, for the last few years I've not paid over. That's 94 plus tax.
Okay.
So it comes up to be like 112, but still,
right.
It's half of what they were going to charge you.
What they were going to charge you. And they should have felt happy to get that much from you.
I know.
Right?
I said, because if you can't do anything, I'm going to have to just quit because I get Spotify in my car.
Ta-da. Good.
Yeah. You pay a subscription for that? Spotify's free.
But you do use your data.
Yes.
You do use your data. You need to be on a cell network.
Spotify in my car. I did lie about it.
And now we have it on the record.
It's called negotiation.
Well, what is true is there's an innumerable amount of options that you could be exercising instead of paying $20 a year to maintain a satellite radio. That's what they have to understand when you're talking to them is, I've got dozens of different options for this kind of entertainment. Why would I pay this price?
Yeah, I like NPR and all those.
Well, but you can on renewing your subscription for a month or two, and they come down to $5 a month.
You think? Really?
Oh, yeah. They've done that for me.
Well, I'll have to try that next time.
If you pay by the year, it's $10 a month. But if you pay by the month, it's 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And my Echo will not open my garage door.
But neither will your wife.
The newer ones, you can turn on lights with. You can open your garage door.
You know, you just have to get your garage door opener. But your Echo will do it.
I don't have a garage.
Can you let the dog out?
We'll know who let the dog out.
You know, I bet they have garage doors on Amazon.
Yeah.
Have you tried asking your Echo to buy a garage door?
Get me a garage.
If that works, I
want to
know,
because
I want a garage door.
I asked about delivery, and they said, well, what? That's what they said. What?
What? Yeah.
Well, I wanted to buy a garage. A garage?
A garage?
Like a trailer.
Yeah. Has anyone heard of the box house?
No.
It was at the Builder's Show. It's really interesting. It literally is a 24-foot, I think, square house, but it folds up and fits flat.
Wow.
Excellent design, $50,000 with all the furnishings, all the appliances.
What's the insulation like?
How's that hold up?
Yeah.
If you go to their website, we're talking to see how it
folds.
Box house.
In the winter,
the other thing interesting there was there's a house now that they have. Relatively small, but they have a movable wall that's hung from a crack in the ceiling so that you can
that's interesting.
Bedroom stuff, you know, and make it much smaller so you have more living space for a party.
They've done that commercial over years.
Ballrooms, conference rooms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have those movable.
Yeah, it's cool.
But this is a relatively small house. It was about a
10 by 10.
I'd kill him. Put me in 800 square feet with anybody for 2 weeks.
They'd regret it.
I want more than my 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did bring one topic that I thought you guys might find interesting.
Am I still
on? Oh, hey, yeah, you're on the board, Bill. What you got there?
I'm just being real patient over
yes.
here.
How unusual for this group.
I saw an Amazon ad the other day. I think it was Amazon for a 2 terabyte thumb drive. Whoa. I just thought that was very amazing.
I could use one of those right this moment.
Back in the day, buying memory for an Apple IIe was $700 for 16K.
Right.
Anyway, that was it.
Well, what's interesting about these extreme sizes and such small packages, and you could imagine that's USB 3, is that they are not trying to put more storage in your computers. When you go and you look, we're moving to a paradigm where Chromebooks are a fairly normal kind of laptop to have, but they sell with 32 to 64 gigabytes of space, knowing you can take one of these drives and just plug it in if you need that kind of space at some point in the future. The other thing with these Chromebooks, that whole paradigm, nothing changes in the Chromebook. It's like buying an iPad. You get what you buy, and you're stuck with it until you you trade it out for another computer at some point. And it's got fixed RAM, fixed storage, fixed specifics about it, but they're cheap. And if you need that kind of storage, you can get one of the. I want one of those thumb drives right now.
How much was it? I don't remember what the price was. I was so amazed at the size of it that sort of left it. I'll leave it up.
I've just recently had to restore a couple of computers, and to do that, I like to do a full backup. Of a full disaster recovery backup in case something goes wrong, I can put the entire system back to the way it was before I began. And recently I found myself running out of space in my storage in my office, and so I was moving stuff around. I was having to create a section of space that I could do one of these backups on, and a 2 terabyte thumb drive would eliminate that problem immediately. I just plug it in and go. I did learn something new that I didn't realize was possible. With Windows 10, I was choosing a new location for backups while having my old backup location plugged in. In a nutshell, I had 2 external hard drives hooked to my Windows 10 laptop. I had the new place I was going to start backing up to, and I had the old place I had been backing up to. And when I assigned the new location, Windows 10 said, okay, but you've got all these versions on this other backup. Would you like to move them to your new backup location? It was just a yes or no question, and I'm like, sure. And then I waited a couple hours while it moved 512 gigabytes from one. But I didn't even realize that was an option in this scenario, and that's awesome because you could be somebody that's keeping incremental backups of changes to documents, maybe for business or for pleasure, that have had changes over time. That flyer that you keep putting out for the Rescate fishing tournament, or the framework that you're putting together for your website that changes with each iteration. And so you may not want to lose you may not want to lose the ability to look at a file and go back 12 versions and see what that version originated at. And that's what that option allowed me to do, was to keep all those previous versions in line. A topic I didn't realize I was going to talk about till just now.
I have a question.
Sure, Bob.
42.
That's the answer.
I don't hear it very well.
Why not? No.
And I have a big TV, and the speaker on the TV is not very good. So I'm interested in a sound bar. And I can wear headphones that are wireless, and I hear perfectly. And I'm interested in knowing about soundbars, and I thought I knew enough about them, but someone told me that they have a separate remote, and that just operates the soundbar. I'm very much aware that I don't know how many people don't have hearing aids in this room, but you have them, right? And I don't know about anybody else, but low frequencies are easy to hear. High frequencies are very hard to hear. And yet the speaker on a sound bar is, I guess, far superior to a TV speaker.
At least that's the general consensus.
Is that the general consensus?
Yeah.
Except a model from RCA from Koppel's for about $60, which is
worse than the TV you're trying to enhance.
Went back to the TV.
You went back to the TV.
The remote doesn't reach from me to that table. You got to get up with the remote.
My husband's hard of hearing, and I attached a Bluetooth speaker to my television. If you don't have the capability, there's an adapter that you buy for like $20 to put on your TV that makes it a Bluetooth. And then I have a Bluetooth speaker that he puts beside him.
Really?
So he doesn't have to wear earphones because he doesn't like to wear earphones.
In fact, you know your Echo device will work as a Bluetooth speaker. You could, if you have Bluetooth in your TV, you could Bluetooth it to your Echo device,
Also, don't forget.
Well, Roku, isn't Roku give you Bluetooth?
Yeah. Does it? I don't remember. Does Roku give you Bluetooth? Fire Stick absolutely gives you Bluetooth. And I was gonna tell this story. My parents have the same issue. Mom's a little hard of hearing and wants to keep it low at night. And so I Bluetoothed it to a portable speaker about the size of a cell phone. And she just, at night, she keeps it up by her head so she can listen to it without disrupting anybody.
Well, the first thing is remember that high notes are very directional and low notes are not. So placement of the speaker is very important. And that's why when you have a subwoofer, you can put it anywhere.
Right.
Because they're not directional.
But the Bluetooth solution could be the best one for you.
Does Chromecast provide Bluetooth?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Let me do a Google search.
I don't know.
I went to Best Buy and they said there wasn't such a thing as an adapter to make a not smart TV into Bluetooth, but there is. I went on Amazon and got one.
Yeah,
they said there wasn't such a thing.
I would imagine the device you're using does require your TV to have audio out.
Yes, we need an audio out.
Yeah, and so there are TVs out there that don't include audio out, and such a device wouldn't work unless you had that, where you can pull the audio from the TV. Like, if you could plug in a pair of headsets with a cable, then these kinds of solutions are definitely going to work. But if you don't have the ability to plug it into like an external stereo, if you don't have the ability to plug it into a pair of headsets, then the TV may not have the ability to push out audio, and then the Bluetooth idea wouldn't be available to you.
Yeah, except my brother bought one of these Bluetooth headsets for my mother's TV, and what we found is when you plug the jack into the audio out, it turned the speakers off on the TV.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So anybody else in the room?
What you're describing is a feature of the TV set.
Yeah, it was a TV set, so.
So it's another limitation based on the kind of TV you have. If you wanted to run speakers in conjunction with the TV speakers, that's what you're describing.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was the only one then that could hear the TV.
Right.
With your headset. And
so there are ways to work around that too, but it's a series of different connections and capabilities.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can't connect Bluetooth headphones to Chromecast. I guess Chromecast does have Bluetooth because people are trying to use it unsuccessfully. Yeah. I cannot connect to Chromecast using Bluetooth on my phone.
Well,
I can. Oh, I can. Can I connect is the question.
But it says it's solved.
Yeah, well, it's not Bluetooth you connect your phone. It's Wi-Fi you connect to it. Like, the way the Chromecast works is you sit in the same Wi-Fi pocket, or you Wi-Fi direct to it. It broadcasts a Chromecast Wi-Fi signal. In fact, on the screen of your TV, it gives you an authentication pin so that you can connect directly to the device, and then you can send stuff over to it from your mobile device.
What's really interesting is that over 50% of people 60 to 70 years old, 50% have some hearing problem. Now, they also know that those people stay at home because they don't want to socialize with other people. So this group right here, there's two of us apparently, or three maybe, that have a hearing problem, and that's unusual in a group. 20% of all kids that are 10 and 12 years old have some sort of a hearing problem.
They just didn't want to listen to their mom.
It's according to parents everywhere.
Yeah. No. Medically.
That's because they use those earbuds, and if you can walk next to the child and hear what they're hearing, it's too loud.
Yeah.
Kids, when they first got their little Sony Walkmans, you know, hear the thing go over and turn it down, you know. Yeah. What are you doing, you know?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
There's four of us.
I have a question.
Sure.
This is kind of an old, but maybe not even one that I'm going to need to worry about, but
last fall I heard that Apple computers, the MacBook Pro, age, you know, 2015, was not allowed on airplanes because of their battery, and you had to get a new battery from Apple before you can take it on the airplane.
That's interesting. When there's a recall like that, then yeah.
But you have to back up your computer, and I wasn't exactly sure the best way to do that.
Why do you have to get a new battery?
Well, it could be a dangerous battery.
Could light the airplane on fire?
Or something like that. Yeah.
MacBook Pro battery.
Remember the story, accident?
2015 MacBook Pro battery swelling.
Jews from Africa to Israel.
And recall. So you could be on the recall list. The unfortunate thing is that the airlines could...
Cargo hold.
I haven't heard about them targeting 2015 MacBooks, but that's what they would do. They wouldn't pay any attention to whether you had the fix or not. If they were targeting your MacBook, there's no way for them to know you've got the new battery. I mean, unless you've got paperwork with you showing that you have the new battery, they're more likely to just target them and say they can't be on the plane. They wouldn't be
to get to the airport with it.
Put it in the box and call a pocket knife.
They put it in the can of violently exploding liquids, right?
Yeah.
Where they put all the other violently exploding things right next to them, right next to the security line.
No, the FAA didn't ban
2015 MacBooks. No. Yeah, that's. And they did ban the Samsung Note that had a tendency to catch fire. You remember that?
Yeah,
and so they were checking your cell phones at one point, not allowing you to go on the plane with them.
So even in the cargo hold?
Well, you're not supposed to put them in the cargo hold. Yeah, all your batteries are supposed to be carry-on. And then they're supposed to meet these guidelines for your batteries. You're not supposed to check any batteries. It reminds me of this KCD cartoon. This math engineer is famous on the internet for making cartoons, Stickmen, and he's an engineer, right? So the panel is. His wife going, now calm down, and they're at the TSA line. He's like, well, yeah, but he's got my shampoo. Certainly he understands that I could just stick a fork through my battery and explode the plane. He doesn't...
You don't want to talk like that when you're in line.
Not when you're in the security line. But, I mean, that's the fallacy of all of this, the theater, security theater, is that any one of these lithium batteries could be an incendiary device very quickly. And they allow all of them to stack up in the plane themselves. I mean, they worry about a phone catching on fire, but they should really worry about absolutely every electronic device we have, because they're all carrying these batteries that could all of a sudden start a fire if misappropriately. But they took your shampoo. Hey, I do have at least one topic I thought you guys would find interesting. If you weren't paying attention, Huawei just released a whole bunch of new equipment on Monday. I mean, they just announced all these different tablets, different phones, folding phones, and then immediately Google issued a warning to any U.S. customers because they're still under the software ban. China, this company is not allowed to use U.S. technology right now. And so what that means is all these wonderful products, I'm a big Huawei fan when it comes to technology. I like the cameras in the phones. I like their batteries. I like their screens. I like their processors, their storage device. They are awesome pieces of equipment. There's probably an argument to be made. They're priced low enough that the Chinese can spy on us with them, because they're almost giving away top technology. But what Google's saying is no Google, no App Store, Google Play, no YouTube, no Gmail will be sold alongside on this phone. So what you'll get on these phones and tablets is a Huawei App Store, a Huawei email program, a Huawei, I don't know how you deal with YouTube, but probably a Huawei web browser that you could go to YouTube with, because there isn't a native YouTube app that can be installed in the phone. And I'm ready to accept all that because of where we are politically right now. But the part that took me by surprise in this article I was reading is that Google, and you might have seen it if you've been in Google Play Store, has a virus scanner and a security scanner, which are two separate things, for each one of its apps. And when you go to the Play Store, it scans your apps to make sure that they're still compliant with both a virus scanner and a security scanner. When they find out that one of the apps that is being downloaded in the App Store turns out to be malicious, they add that to their database so that when you come back, and you're coming back all the time with your Android devices, what I'm describing is happening automatically. So you're not thinking about this stuff unless you go into the App Store and you're looking for a new app. Then you can see this process happening. But it scans your device once again for whether you've got viruses and scans it to see if it meets security issues. And apparently, this is new, Google certifies equipment as being secure. Huawei is not on that list any longer. So when you go to the App Store, you are not able to download apps. Oh, this is the part I forgot to mention. There have been ways around this problem. People have been able to install Google Play on their Huawei phones, their new Huawei phones, and continue to install these apps. There are instructions on how to get these apps into your Huawei phone, which do not matter any longer because you cannot use the Google Play Store to install these apps. So you might be able to get Google Play into your Huawei device, but your Huawei device, the hardware, is not authorized by Google. And so none of the programs that you would go after will get installed through Google Play. What that means, if you buy one of these Huawei phones, you're on your own. You do not have somebody taking you by the hand, guiding through what apps to install on the phone, or coming with apps that are ready to go that you're familiar with. Yes?
The new modem that Telmex just put in our house, because we just put in fiber optics, is a Huawei.
Yes.
Is that going to conflict with our Chrome? Because we're having really weird problems.
It won't conflict with your Chrome at all, but it is questionable whether there are security holes in that device that would make it possible for not only Telmex, but also the Mexican government and also the Chinese government to pay attention to what you're doing. And we do live in a world now where it's reasonable to believe that each one of those entities has a large enough data warehouse that they flipped on a switch that's just accumulating that data.
Something weird's going on.
No. Couldn't you install Aptoid and get all your programs through them?
That's what you could do. You could also more than likely install the Amazon App Store and get all your apps through them. But again, that's a level above just the standard consumer. You have to turn off security concerns in the phone so that you can install third-party app stores. If you don't do that, then your only option is a Huawei app store. And so that takes these products to the next level. Normal people don't do that stuff. Normal people go to Google Play and install apps from there. Normal people don't even install apps. They look at the phone and go, what do you mean it doesn't have YouTube? Well, I can't buy a phone without YouTube. And they go on to the next model.
So you have a Huawei?
Huawei, yeah.
You have that installed in your house?
Right now. router that Telmex put in.
All the new routers from Telmex are Huawei.
Yeah, we had no choice. Yeah. We're using laptops with the Wi-Fi connection.
And
we're having trouble.
And Dabiva, if we were looking at security threats from Huawei, the ones the government has been concerned about are at a much higher level, but your modem in your house is closer to that higher level. They're not concerned. It's the fallout of being concerned at that higher level that they're under this embargo of U.S. technology all the way down to your phone. But the security threats they're concerned about are happening up at the switch level, where they're creating internet for areas like San Carlos. They're concerned about that being what's compromised, is that piece of equipment. Your modem in your house is just beyond that piece of equipment, which would bring it into suspicion as well, because it would either work in conjunction with a device that's compromised, or at your level, at your house level, is already compromised in the view of the U.S. government under this administration, what we're supposed to be concerned about.
Are these downloading problems, or are they other problems within the computer?
What kind of problems are you having?
Locking up. The Chrome keeps locking up.
Keeps locking up? Is that on both your computers? And have you checked the version of Chrome you're running? If you go into Help under About, it will not only tell you the version, but attempt to download the latest version if you don't have it.
Okay. No, I haven't done that.
And it should be, your Chrome should be just updating all the time, so you shouldn't have to do anything like that. But you do that when you're having problems. Many times you'll see a message in there if something's gone wrong.
Well, if I reboot the router.
Mm-hmm.
Within a few minutes, it comes right back up.
You know, why don't you give up on Chrome for a while and try a different browser? Yeah, and just to verify whether you're having the same problem. Because everything is based on Chrome right now, except for Macintosh Apple stuff, which is based on WebKit, and Firefox, which is based on their own thing.
You used to recommend Firefox. I haven't used it for a long time. Are you still recommending that?
Yeah, I recommend Firefox again. There was a security period of time that I was concerned about it.
Favor with Google and then back in again as years have gone by.
Yeah. Yeah, but Firefox is legitimately a different rendering in engine. So if it is actually a Chrome issue, you should see it across all the Chrome browsers that are out there. Brave is a Chrome browser. The new Edge from Microsoft is a Chrome browser. The Opera is a Chrome browser. They're all built on the same motor. It'd be like, in the car world, it would be like having a Ford, a Nissan, and a Chevy all have the same Renault motor. And that's where we're at. Chrome has become the standard motor for all these web browsers, with the exception of what Apple's doing with their browsers, and with what Firefox is doing with their browser, Mozilla's doing with their browser.
So you're telling us that you have this Huawei system, and Carlos Slim has adopted this Chinese system, right?
Well, all over the world, Huawei has been providing this kind of equipment.
Okay, so
they are the lowest bidder.
Okay, so if they are the lowest bidder, if somebody had that, you think about my grandfather. Everything in the world was based upon something that happened before. And I look at that grandfathering codes. Law is all based on what's happened before. And so I look at this and say, if you had a system that was grandfathered in, you probably could continue to use it then.
I'm not sure the point you're making, Bob.
The grandfathering in, if you had something that was provided by the telephone company, and then they have a new law, that's what
you're talking about, like an old modem. If you didn't want the,
is it just the modem that is changed?
Huawei.
Well, yeah, over the last 10 years, they've moved from a variety of providers of modems down to one provider. And so now if you get a modem from Telmex, it is definitely a Huawei modem.
And their equipment in the main office?
I would imagine is Huawei, because that's how you end up in this position.
Exactly.
You buy the big metal from that company, you get discounts on the little stuff.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So everything is Huawei.
That's what I would imagine, yeah. And I would imagine that the 5G rollout will end up being Huawei as well. The really, that's the biggest problem with 5G right now, is that there isn't alternate vendors that can compete against them. We've talked about this before. Yeah. I'm convinced that's the reason for all this garbage going on. I mean, there are genuine security concerns. Absolutely. I think that they should vet all the equipment. I think there's a real concern about basing your infrastructure on a foreign country's technology, especially one that has such tied roots with the government, especially one that has a government that is a pseudo-capitalist communist government. I mean, I think those are all very good reasons to have intelligent people in government vetting and verifying. I don't think that's the case right now. I don't think we have very intelligent people making these decisions right now. I think that most of this is coming from we want to give Intel a chance to compete against Huawei. We want to give Qualcomm a chance to compete against Huawei. Qualcomm is the only one that's really close to competing. And Intel, less than 6 months ago, came out to say, we're not the ones that are going to do it. We're stopping our 5G development because we can't catch up. And so I think that the security concern is going to be minimalized unless they can get Qualcomm to catch up with development, because Huawei is ready to roll it out. And we're already watching the UK. Huawei is their 5G provider. Canada has already vetted Huawei 5G provider, so they're going to be doing their 5G with Huawei equipment. And at the same time, in American mainstream media, we keep hearing, they keep putting out articles about the security holes we've already found. And when I read these things, I think, well, yeah, but there's security holes in our technology as well. Our technology's been compromised. It's well documented how often it's been compromised. We had a government that was spying on our people. And instead of stopping spying, they just rewrote the law to make it legal to spy on our people. Mm-hmm. And so really, we're kind of at an impasse where it's, do we want ISPs in a foreign government to spy on us, or do we want ISPs in our own government spying on us? That's really where we're at. And the U.S. government is going to stop us from buying this equipment that makes it difficult for them to spy on us and makes it easy for a foreign country to spy on us. Mm-hmm. It's a very nuanced issue. And it's all driven by the fact that we want the technology now. It's the same thing that's driven all this technology. Windows, I don't know if you remember, back in the day, though, you could... I remember hooking up with a friend from Computer Club just to prove that we could do it across Debbie's... I was helping Debbie administrate the cafe internet back in the day. Everybody was using that for their internet connection. And with Windows 95, I could connect up to Debbie's system and file share into my friend's computer across San Carlos and put documents and delete documents from his computer, because Windows was so poorly secured. Had nothing to do with Debbie. Had everything to do with the way Microsoft was churning out software. So we've lived through these security holes, and Microsoft had to put a whole security task force in place. I guess what I'm getting at with that is, we always wanted the features before we wanted the security. We've always been marketed the features before we worried about the repercussions. And we're still there. That's still what we're doing. We want 5G. We want to be able to download a 4K movie into our phone to watch on the bus while we're sitting at breakfast, before we're worried about my email being available to any spy out there or any industry that would use that information. We're not worried about that. We're worried about the movie.
Is any country really more secure than the United States? The idea of intellectual property is I've had a very close friend that was involved in intellectual property. He was a lawyer. And I really respect that, but I think sometimes that gets in the way of
innovation.
The thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
More features.
Yeah, well, the security thing specific. I mean, the idea of protecting IP is supposed to better the consumers. Mm-hmm. But many times it gets used to protect the industry. And industry has always treated it as though it's their protection. But really, the whole idea of intellectual property was to make it possible for consumers to learn and grow and come up with new ideas without the people that create that stuff being at risk of having their ideas stolen.
Scott, back to Bob's point about history setting precedents, is this any different from what has gone on in international real estate, international production of product, international banking? This is just one more area that's being affected this way, isn't it?
Well, I would probably share your opinion. I'm far from an expert in any of this kind of speculation, but I do feel like we've dealt with. I do feel like the issue is China. It's not security. It's not the way we do things. It's not our culture. It's because China is in the title of this, and our government has always had a reason to be concerned about that. And so there's nothing different about the products we're trying to use, the security holes that could exist. The big difference is it's this foreign entity that we have adversary relations with at times that we're concerned about. And it's probably a genuine concern. I think they should be concerned about our equipment. I mean, that's the reason they started building their own. I mean, we were the first ones to put back doors into equipment they were buying as they were getting industrialized so that we could watch them. So I think we have good reason to be concerned about them doing that to the equipment we're buying because they're in the perfect position to do that. I just don't know where to go from there. I'm not the right person to make those decisions. I think it's a genuine concern. At the same time, this is the way our world's been working for as long as I can remember. We're moving to an open society, whether we like it or not. I mean, we're moving to a world where I'm going to be able to put your name into a search engine and get your entire history. You guys heard about that facial recognition software that's floating around right now? Right. Yeah, that law enforcement departments have been buying without letting people know they've got it, and it's been insanely effective at...
You can grow a beard and still see.
Beard, side picture. They caught a guy that they had been looking for years from a fuzzy image on a abused child video. It was paired with the image of a guy in a gym captured in the background of a guy's selfie. So I'm at the gym working out, and I'm showing off my muscles. So I take a picture on Instagram, and I accidentally hit another gym member in the background in a mirror. And this software was able to pair that with the child abuse video. They approach the gym, identify who the guy is. I mean, not the selfie guy, but the guy in the mirror. And they're able to track this guy down and arrest him for this. They've never had that kind of power before.
So when this software makes a match, it tells you that, hey, we got a match here? Is that how this...
Yeah, well, it comes up with all these pictures from that match.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
and Google does that.
And it's side picture.
You can take a picture and put it in Google, give you all this.
No, the Google doesn't even compare to this.
No, I know,
what they've done is they've created the biggest database of social pictures that's ever existed. And they've done this by scraping all these social sites. So every public picture they could get a hold of is in this database.
Like your videos.
like my videos. Like Jim, you got to stop all that illicit behavior because now you can be identified from a fuzzy picture on an OXO camera, and it'll find you in the computer club.
I thought eye identification was more powerful than facial, but they've changed that, huh?
Well, it's a different kind of technology. What's unique about this story is just how very effective it's been in law enforcement. That's one big point is the software that they used to use required them to almost have mug shots. Like you had to have a front full featured face picture to compare against these government databases that were out there. And so they weren't having a lot of luck. This article that I was reading had done interviews with investigators, and they told stories where they had cases that were 20 years old that they were able to solve. No, I'm sorry, not 20 years old. They had many years old that they were able to solve in 20 seconds. That's where the 20 comes from, the 20 seconds. So they were getting no hits on all the government sites, and they were trialing this software before buying it. And they solved cases in 20 seconds that they had no leads on, just because they were able to put these pictures into a more intelligent database and get real results for them. So law enforcement's loving this, but what this is we're one step closer to, I can put Bob's picture into a database and get absolutely every picture that he's ever posted online. Not only his pictures, but pictures of friends and family that have taken of him and put out there online, as well as the corresponding information that goes along with it. Oh, yeah, that's Bob. He lives in San Carlos most of the time. Here's his phone number. Here's his address. He did nothing but get captured in a number of public databases that have been successfully scraped and organized together. It is what Snowden was reporting to us was being done in the government, but now it's on steroids, and it's a private company, and they're marketing it and selling it to law enforcement.
Not just law enforcement.
Well, now here's where everything starts to rub really hard with friction, because they say they are a responsible company that will not be selling it to anyone but law enforcement. I just think that those kinds of statements you can take as far as the person that's in charge of the company. So the moment it changes hands is the moment that stuff... It's like the Patriot Act with the presidency. It's like, until somebody decides that it's okay to use it for these clauses you've outlined. No, we promised to only go over... Where'd the promise go you were only going to go after bad people? Where'd the promise go that you were going to stop fishing? You were never going to use this for fishing expeditions. It's because you're really working on a promise instead of any kind of tech... I'm a firm believer that if technically you can do it, it will be done. It doesn't matter what law... Laws are only determining who's liable for doing it. It doesn't mean it's not going to be done. I really feel like if you have concerns about these things, then what we should have is a market of technologies that's thwarting these other technologies, and it's an arms race going back and forth. You write a law to decide who's liable for it, but you make technology to stop it from happening.
They were talking about the health records being... There's a company that handles 60% of all the health records.
It was recently compromised.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But how far back do those health records go? From birth, unless you're pretty young.
They are if you're born in China. I suspect we're doing it now, too, because they've. Why wouldn't they be putting...
It's all computerized, so it's got to be out there.
Well, if you take a blood test of a newborn, it gets into a database, which is a genetic profile.
That's true.
It's no different than taking fingerprints and footprints and things like that. It's absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The negative actually is the climate we live in right now. It's not the technology. It's, you know, that old analogy, you can use a hammer to build a house or break somebody's skull. The hammer is not at fault.
So what kind of laws does technology need to have? If you didn't have codes, you'd have buildings falling down. Okay? You take your children and you give them limits. And mankind needs limits because mankind is not always honest or truthful. So what kind of laws do you expect to happen with technology?
Well, I think that's a great rhetorical question. I don't have an answer for that.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's a good thought exercise.
Infallible laws would be the best.
Yeah, yeah, ones that can't make a mistake. Do we have any examples of that? Yeah.
Well, law.
I really think my personal opinion is we are in the midst of a cultural shift.
Yes.
And we're either going to blow ourselves up or we're going to figure this out. But I don't see any other options. Ourselves up could be metaphorical or it could be literal in my mind, because we are at an impasse where technology is so powerful we have to be making some of the best decisions we've ever made. We can't provide just features without thinking of the repercussions. We have to always be thinking of the repercussions as we
not
put out this technology.
Possible.
Say again?
Not always a redo possible.
That's right. What is the analogy is we can't put the genie back in the bottle. After we release this stuff, we have to deal with the repercussions. We need to spend a lot more time thinking about the repercussions before we release it. I'm in favor of a completely open world. I think I think one of the biggest problems we have right now is that only certain power sets have access to all the information on us. I think if we all had the same access to information that certain power sets had, we'd see a lot more intelligent decisions being made, a lot less corruption going on, a lot less conniving going on, because we would have the same level of access that those couldn't be done in secret any longer. And that's what's happening right now, is those things are still being done in secret, but then they have absolutely every piece of information to manipulate politicians into making decisions, law enforcement into making decisions, to hold you accountable for things that you didn't realize you were ever going to be held accountable for. We need this cultural shift.
So you believe in limitedness?
Well, I believe that where we are right now, all we can do is limit. But I see over the hump. I see over the hump where we didn't blow ourselves up, where we've all had this cultural shift, where we're not scared of our information being out there, because we haven't created a society where we're scaring people. And so, yeah, okay, I mean, if you want to see what color underwear I'm wearing, it's out there. It doesn't bother me a bit. Right?
Isn't that the whole premise, say, behind the WikiLeaks thing?
That's exactly the premise behind WikiLeaks.
It makes some sense.
Is if you live in the light, you should behave in the light. Right? I mean, you should behave in a manner that people aren't going to be coming after you, because that information is now available.
Who is that?
You're waiting for the lightning bolt?
What is that? All of us.
It's not rain.
We're in a palapa that we can see daylight through, and there's something crawling around on top of us. That's the NSA agent up there retracting his microphone.
He doesn't want to lose it in the explosion.
He's like, we're done with this group. It's
paranoid.
Yeah, I'm paranoid. If I'm paranoid, it's because we've reached a point where we create paranoia.
No. You live in the light.
There is one problem with your premise, and that is the narcissistic effect. There are certain individuals in our society, all societies, who really should not have this kind of power. How do you eliminate that?
See, I don't think you can. I think all you can do is give that power to everyone. And then those people cannot effectively function because you've got all the insights
assuming
on them.
Assuming that the others say so.
Yeah,
you
well,
know, don't allow it to function. But there is a certain percentage of the population that will go along with, you know, I've always been a Republican. Damn it, I'm going to vote Republican. That kind of thing.
Yeah?
There is always, out of the 100%, there's always 20% that are one or the other. I don't know.
Well, you know what I found interesting just recently, and we're getting farther and farther away from computer topics, but I did see that
philosophy,
that poll on CNN that was showing that the majority of people are independents. That when you look at the numbers, the majority of people are not Republicans and they're not Democrats. They consider themselves independents. Independents hold 40 to 50% of our society.
Have you ever read the platform for the independents? Have you ever read it?
Yes, I am.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's one
I've
paragraph.
Worked mm-hmm. in the
it's,
polling
you believe
office.
Whatever you want. That's what it says.
Yes.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's very few
that's
people that go in there and vote independently. They either vote
yeah.
Republican or Democrat.
Yeah, they do.
We can't
yeah,
vote
right.
independently because you're voting for the wrong people.
Well, when no, I see that number, what I see is almost half of our society ready for any new idea that makes sense. And I think of that as a good thing. I see that as hope. Mm-hmm. I see that as more that almost half of our society is ready not to follow their neighbor, but they're ready to follow a new idea that makes sense. I mean, that's all we need. We need good ideas that make sense. More, and almost half of our society is ready to go that direction. So what if we got 20% over here that says they're Democrats and they're always going to vote Democrat, and we've got 20% over here Republican that are say they're always going to. If we can get that independent to follow the good ideas, that's what's going to dictate society.
Well, starting out, you were talking about folding houses. In London, they're building buildings now like spiders make webs.
Oh yeah.
And they're all doing it with plastic. And I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you're talking about printing houses?
Oh, the 3D
printer.
Yeah,
yes.
The 3D house printers. Those
exactly.
are awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
How about a computer topic?
Oh God, okay. It is computer club. We do have 5 minutes left. Let's talk.
I'm a Locast fan. I don't know how many people use it or have tried it. Locast is
this is what you mentioned.
Your local TV stations. Now they only do 17 U.S. TV locations, cities. I use Denver, so I watch all the football games. But as of this week, where I used to get like 12 channels, the local Denver channels, each channel seems to have been expanded drastically.
The HD
because WGN, who owns the Denver equivalent, KWGN, they now show four different variations of the channel, all simultaneous. So you went up to Locast now probably has at least 60 channels rebroadcast $5 a month.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Now the bad part is you have to have presence in the city, VPN or DNS or something, and the city has to be one that, you know, you have to choose the right ones.
Well, is Locast maintaining the HDTV antennas for your local area? So you don't have to do any of that.
You don't have to do anything. It's all, live streamed over the internet.
It's a service.
And they're legal because it's an exemption in the U.S. law that says a nonprofit can rebroadcast.
Yeah, we had something like this going on for a while, and that's what caught them, right? There was another service like this for a long time.
Yeah, Aereo.
Aereo, yeah. And they got in trouble. They had antennas all over the United States, and what they were doing is they were leasing them to customers per a use. So you wouldn't lease it for 30 days. You'd lease it for the TV program you were watching in that area.
Yeah, their claim was because they're separate. Locast, I think, only has one antenna.
Well, I think how they shut them down was they weren't non-profit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they got in trouble, is they weren't non-profit.
And of course, everyone's trying to sue
you know, even though the law is very clear.
Don't kid yourself. Nonprofits are not nonprofit.
Well, sure, but it is an exemption to the law. It allows you to use this service. Did you guys see that the Macs have outpaced Windows for threats?
Yeah.
I'm just going through old topics now. This was from a couple of weeks ago.
What's the current rumor on when Windows 10 will start charging a yearly service fee?
I haven't heard that rumor. Where are you seeing that?
I've seen that, and I really think it's very true, because why else would we be encouraging all these old Windows 7 people to upgrade to Windows 10 and then, okay, do exactly like they've done to Office? No, you can't buy an Office version these days. You must do our yearly subscription.
You know, I'm remembering what you're talking about, and I've heard some people talking about this, and they keep coming back to they do not believe, they haven't heard anything to make them think that it was going to be, there's going to be a free tier of Windows always. But then there's, for corporations specifically, there's going to be a tier of Windows that includes Office, includes cloud services. It's all bundled together so that it's an easy way for a corporation to buy. They can buy per license, per seat, and it would include all these options. It's like Windows 360 or Microsoft 360,
like
that they're
enterprise license.
Yeah. I mean, if I think that's what you're referring to, because whenever they're talking about this stuff, they're always saying there's going to be always this Windows 10 for home use. Windows 10 is going to come on the new products that you buy. We still are able to upgrade Windows 7 to Windows 10 for free. They say that will always exist. What may happen, I've heard speculation that what may happen as your product gets older, it's going to fall out of compatibility with the latest versions. And so you will be stuck with an older version of Windows 10 with the latest security updates to it.
Windows 10X?
Well, 10X is a completely different beast that they're talking about. Yeah.
The whole thing seems to be going to pricing things less, like smart TVs and everything else, so they can get your information. So I find it hard to imagine they're going to come up with whole brand new packages and start selling.
Well, and I think what you said about Windows 10X convolutes the issue, because Windows 10X is the new version of Windows that's going to come out. We talked about it a little bit last week. Windows 10X is going to be able to offer supposedly 90-second upgrades, so upgrades are not supposed to be an issue. It's a new technology called containers that you guys have never had any real exposure to, but the idea of a container is mini computers. The idea that a computer is built out of software and you're running that particular app in this mini computer. And it's isolated from the other softwares in your computer. So when you run Chrome functions as though it's on a separate computer than when you pull up your email in Windows 10 or use your calculator. Those are all considered separate instances of computers. And we've done stuff like this. It's called virtual machines. We've done stuff like this for a long time. But now this is the foundation of the Windows operating system. They can have a very secure base operating system that manages all these little fake computers that are running. And this is a very complex problem that they have solved, where you're able to copy and paste and move information between these without compromising them, their isolation. The isolation is what's giving their security. And some of this terminology you hear, virtual machine, container, sandbox, they're all referring to the same style of technology where they're compartmentalized applications. So you go to a website and it is able to inadvertently get something malicious into your computer. It's only in that compartment. It's only in that container. And it's isolated there, and it can't jump containers. It can't jump into the rest of your computer. On the off chance it can jump to another container, that doesn't mean that it can compromise the entire operating system. because the operating system isn't maintaining applications, it's maintaining these containers, these sandboxes.
So Apple hasn't done that yet.
Apple has nothing like this right now. But Apple, but containers are have grown out of a Unix-based operating system environment. They exist in Linux, they exist in Unix, and Apple systems are based on BSD Unix. And so they are working very quickly to move their operating system to these styles, because this is the latest style in operating systems. The latest style in this technology is we're anticipating processors with 16 cores. Up till now, we've been using processors with 2 to 4 cores in our PCs, and our phones have gone from 4 to 8 cores. I mean, that's like having 8 brains in your computer. We're anticipating AMD has announced 16-core processors for your PCs, your laptops. So what all that allows you to do is some much more sophisticated manipulation of the operating systems. I mean, when you think back in the day, you're running Windows on one core. Well, having 16 cores makes it possible for you to theoretically run 16 full Windows computers that could be operating different applications in each one of those cores. That's not necessarily the way this technology will work, but theoretically that's the way you could think about it. That's the kind of power management that we're going to be anticipating.
So you're saying like you have one computer and you can have 16 different screens out there and have something different on each one?
Well, you could marvel over the technology, by you could wrap your head around it by thinking about it. That's not the way that it's going to play out.
Yeah,
that's not your experience. This is the boring part. Your experience won't change. You'll be looking at one screen. You'll be running your applications, one or two apps that you typically run. But all these pieces that are happening in the background are going to be in compartmentalized away from each other so that they're satisfying these extreme degrees of security to allow data to interact. The same way I started out talking about how I could get into my buddy's computer across the internet, well, we can't do that anymore because they've figured out ways to compartmentalize your experience on the internet from your friend's experience on the internet so that there's these deep layers of security segregating you from these other experiences that are out there. Well, now we're going to be having those kinds of deep, rich security environments in the operating system. And it's only made possible by these increases in cores, these increases of technology. Your experience will be boring because it'll be exactly the same thing you're doing right now. But you will be fundamentally more secure, less prone to viruses, less prone to eavesdropping, right?
Well, the concept dates back to 1980 with IBM with what was System 38, now called iSeries computer, where you could not address anything else in the machine except the one thing you're working with. So therefore, you never reboot the machine. Once a year, maybe, you know, that's it, because the software type things never fails where it affects somebody else. And
yeah.
So business has had to rely upon this type of design, because you don't say, hey, 10,000 people, go redo the stuff that you've just been doing.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, really looking forward to it because I hate the Korean architecture.
Yeah, this is a fundamental switch in architecture, and it's for the good. And most of us won't even notice it. It'll just be the latest iteration.
You'll notice the fact that the computer works better.
And the Windows 10X that we're talking about, the next iteration, will not work on what we've got now. They are not building it to work on what we've got now. They are saying that this is going, they're pairing this with the dual screen technology that they're pushing. So that you won't find this version of Windows 10 coming out on anything except devices that have two different screens on them. And that's an artificial constraint that Microsoft has put on it. And we've already had articles come out where people have taken the beta version of this Windows 10X and they're running it on Macintosh computers so much more successfully than anyone expected them to, that I believe that we are going to have a whole line of hobbyists like myself that would try and run it on their old equipment. But Microsoft will not be releasing updates that will push old equipment into this. What I speculate will happen is they will continue security updates for the old version, the old generation of Windows 10. And that'll just be the operating system you'll continue to use on your computer until it dies.
Will this be an easy meld with 5G?
Sure. With as far as we are in 5G right now, why not? Why not? That's an easy answer for it, and I don't think we've got enough information to really know whether they'll really.
Well, I guess my question is, are the developers of each of those technologies thinking about the other one?
Well, only in the fact that you've got modular technologies, and so, I mean, that will be dealt with, but it'll be dealt with right alongside printers and scanners and mice and keyboards because of this containerizing of operating system. That's really what Windows becomes, is it becomes this manager of all these containers. And so fundamentally they're concerned about wireless access, how do you share that with each one of these containers, keyboards, mice, how do you share? I mean, from the developer's perspective, this has got to be fantastic and amazing and a rewrite of the roadmaps that they've been following for years. New people coming out of college or in college right now are going to be learning a completely different way of developing applications and operating systems. And you, as a consumer, are not going to notice any difference. It's going to have a little bit new shine on the start menu button, right? It's going to be faster to start up and shut down. It'll have nothing to do with the underlying technology. It's just we're at that point now, the instant on, instant off. You're going to feel those things and not even realize all this. It's like changing the foundation of a building if you could do that. You'd still be in the building. You'd still be doing the things you do in the building. You'd have no idea that it can survive 9.5 earthquakes now and flooding up to the third floor. You have no comprehension of that. You just still be in your cubicle selling insurance.
Scott, I learned something the other day. It was brand new for me. You talk about sharing. Sharing phone to computer to TV, all communication devices. I did not know that the symbol for sharing was looked like a wishbone with two little dots on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Does everybody
all
know that?
No.
You know, all know that.
Actually, what gets confusing is that each platform has its own icon for sharing.
Really? Yeah.
So what you're describing, the globe with two lines,
yeah.
You'll find that almost always in an Android platform, and I think Windows 10 has finally adopted that as a share icon, but it's not the icon that's used in the Apple platform.
Oh, really?
Apple has like a square with a curled arrow coming out, if I remember right. Yeah.
All these multi-core processors, do each processor have its own cache and RAM, or do they share?
Well, you're getting a little deep in the woods for me on that. Yeah. Yeah, I do believe they have their own cache, but that is as far into it as I can get. We could go back and look at the AMD announcement of their new technology.
No, that's all right. I'm still a 286, 386 vintage. So.
Well, I've got the cable, so you're...
Oh, thank you.
And I think we've reached the end of our weekly meeting. As you can see, people out there in internet land, we've got people
departing.
Not because they're tired of me. I imagine it's because they have to pee. That I do too, so I'm ready to go. But this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm holding one of my USB camera cables behind me so people can slide out of their seats. I am Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. That's internationalcs.net. If you've got computer needs anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of us. Locally, you can call us at 226-0209. You can reach us through our website, internationalcs.net. You can reach me directly through email, scott@internationalcs.net. If you liked our computer club and are interested in more of this kind of stuff, check out our website at sccclub.org. You can also reach me for computer club issues at scott@sccclub.org. You can also check us out as a podcast if, wherever you get podcasts. Search for the San Carlos Computer Club. Or look for us on YouTube. You can find us real easy at youtube.sccclub.org, or go to YouTube and search the San Carlos Computer Club. You'll find our channel. That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Until next Tuesday, tech on.
Mm-hmm. Stop. Another quickie question.
Certainly.
Is it on the current architecture? I would tell you.